This evening, I'll be reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 through 2. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
This morning, we looked at parenting like God, and we discussed or reminded ourselves of some things that we discussed of last week to kind of bring us up to date of where we are in this mini-series, if you will. We noticed that in parenting like God, we must raise our children and not just let them grow up. God raised his children in such a way that there was order, that there was expectation, and there was exposure to that which is good and not evil. You also have point number two from last week, teaching your children. When God is raising his children, he makes sure to teach them the things that they need to know in order to make it from this life into the next. And he does that through communication. He does that by developing a relationship with his children. And then this morning, we looked at disciplining your children. Discipline your children like God. And what we noticed that there was a three-step in how to discipline like God. Step one, we noticed, was to ask questions. And asking questions, it eliminates all confusion. It eliminates all frustration. And it brings clarity. We also noted step number two, tell them why they are being punished. If you communicate to them what is happening and why it is happening, they are not just learning what's going on and maybe even they get some clarity in the situation, but in the long run, providentially teaching them, if you will, you are showing them that there is right and wrong, and that there is punishment, and there is reward. And then we notice step number three, follow through with the punishment. If you have said you are going to do something, do it. If you don't follow through with it, there are consequences. It'll show that you are a liar, and it shows to your children that it is actually okay to do these things, that it's not really that bad. God, when he says he is going to do something, he follows through with it. Well, this is where we get to the end of our mini-series, Parenting Like God. And I want to end on a high note, not so much of just discipline, even though that is a good note that we could end on because it saves the child. It removes the foolishness from the heart and saves them from hell, as we made mention the book of Proverbs. But that's not the very end of God's parenting. The way God truly ends parenting, I guess you could say ends it, but the final step of parenting is reward. Even though at the day of judgment there is going to be a great discipline, there's also going to be a great reward to those who obey him. And when we are parenting our children the way that God parents his, we need to remember to reward our children when it is worthy to reward. And this evening, with the time that we have, we're going to look at quite a few thoughts here. Under reward your children, thought number one, reward and do not bribe them. Reward your children and do not bribe your children. Now, I'm already seeing some faces kind of chuckling of, well, we kind of did that today, you know. I'm not necessarily saying it's bad. It's not bad at all to say, hey, why don't we go get some ice cream? Okay, that's not bribing your children. That's not spoiling your children. When we're talking about bribing them, it's more of to just try to get them to listen and say, okay, if you just do this, then I'll finally fold and do whatever you want me to do. That is not how. Do not let your children parent you. You parent your children. God does not fold to his children. In fact, his children will bow and fold before him on the day of judgment. And notice some of these thoughts. Your rewards reflect the fulfillment of a promise. God's rewards confirm his promises. Scripture shows this throughout the entire Bible, that righteous reward follows faithful conduct. Notice Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, really the first part of Revelation. Chapters 2 and 3, there is warning of judgment, but there's also a promise or a condition with that promise of reward. If you do this, then you can come over and stay with me. But if you do not do this, there are going to be consequences and your candlestick will be taken from you. But notice Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Is God bribing his children? If you do this, then I'll make sure to give you something good, but you just got to do it. And well, he's not folding. He's saying there is right and there is wrong. There is reward and there is punishment. And in order for me to be just and righteous, I have to follow through with punishment. But in order to be righteous and just, I do have to follow through in giving a reward. If you do, as I say, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, it was read for us a moment ago. It says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commands, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." Blessings follow obedience to the Lord. Now here is our application as parents. Parents should reward obedience after it is demonstrated, reflecting God's pattern of faithful reward. Rewards teach children that obedience leads to blessing. That's not bribery. That is just how God has ordered the system of faith. If you obey, there are rewards. If you disobey, there are punishments. And God follows through with both. By rewarding obedience, there is a balance, of course, which we're going to look at in a moment. But make sure to acknowledge and commend and reward when your child does right. Because what they are getting is only punishment, and they're always having the negative pointed out, and when they actually do something right, but it's not acknowledged, guess what there's going to happen to them? They're going to get discouraged. There needs to be balance. Reward when it is worthy of reward. But yes, we do need to punish when punishment is due. Now, what about this second idea? Remember, reward your children. That's what we're discussing this evening. We're looking at reward and do not bribe them. And under this main thought, reward reflects the fulfillment of a promise. But notice idea number two, rewards reinforce righteous behavior. God rewards faithfulness after obedience. Biblical wisdom teaches that good conduct should be acknowledged and strengthened. God's pattern is not bribery, but reward that follows faithful action. Notice Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. One of my favorite accounts, specifically dealing with character growth in Scripture, is Abraham. Because if you do the research of Abraham, or Abram when you very first meet him, and Sarai, his wife, eventually named Sarah, you will see such a character growth and development in these two individuals. He comes out of paganism. He comes out of idolatry, even sexual immorality, because you see that he tries to give his wife over to a king just so he could save his own skin. But notice, after about three or four chapters looking over Abraham's life, notice what God says to Abraham in verse 1. God tells Abraham, "I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Well, why did God not tell him this when he very first met him back in Ur in the land of the Chaldees? Well, God told him, you need to do A, B, and C. And even though he made promises, Some of those promises weren't fulfilled until Abraham obeyed. And when he finally obeyed, God says, "Abraham, you're going to receive a reward because you did as I said." You also read of this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. This is a very interesting proverb, and I believe it goes unnoticed all too often. And this is not just, this isn't, can only be applied to parenting. This applies across the board in every aspect of life. But notice what it says, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. If you have a responsibility and you have the authority and power to do something good for someone, the proverb writer says, you need to do it. If it's within your power and it is due them, you need to do it. Well, what about our children? If they do something worthy of praise and honor and acknowledging what they have done is right, well, as parents, we need and have an obligation to acknowledge that and make known you're doing good. You are following the pattern set for you. That's exactly what God does for us. Here's the application for us as parents. When a child does well, giving affirmation or reward encourages them to continue in righteousness. Like God with Abraham, parents reward faithfulness that has already been demonstrated. Now here's our third thought under rewards. Rewards reflect the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, God actually tells us, Jesus does, being deity in the flesh, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Jesus actually tells us to go out and sow the word of God, Mark chapter 4. And if it all starts in the home, we need to be teaching our children that what you sow is also what you reap. And by instilling that in their minds and also teaching them the word of God, saying, go out and sow the word, they will have principles growing up saying, if I do this, this is going to be the outcome. Well, it all starts in the home. Rewards reflect the principle of sowing and reaping. God rewards those who seek after him. The Bible repeatedly connects action with result, and God promises blessing to those who pursue him sincerely. And there is the key, sincerely pursue him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You need to teach your children as well as I to mine that when you do something good, you need to do it out of the sincerity of your heart because it's the right thing to do. Not because, well, if I do this, I know I'm going to get a reward. That's not the point of these rewards. The point of these rewards and affirmations and words of honor to our children is to show them that when you sow something, you reap something. And if we sow righteousness, guess what we're going to reap? We're going to reap righteousness. If we seek God, guess what Jesus says? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, the region there in Galatia. And it is at the latter part of this epistle. Notice what he says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows on his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one, notice this, who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If we teach our children, if you sow good things, you will reap good things. If you sow bad things, you will reap bad things. That's what the Bible teaches us, spiritually speaking. That's what God teaches us, his children. If you sow to the Spirit, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap eternal life. That's going to be your reward if you follow through with my commandments. Here's the application for us as parents. Rewarding good behavior helps children understand the moral order that God has built into our life. If we teach our children that whatever you sow, that will you also reap, we are teaching them exactly what God has ordained in his laws. If you obey me, there will be reward. If you disobey me, there will be consequences. Now look at our final thought under the idea of reward. Reward and do not bribe. Thought number four, rewards should never replace obedience. Rewards should never, ever, ever replace obedience. God's rewards reveal his justice. This is where we hit really hard with the idea of bribing. Bribery attempts to purchase obedience instead of teaching it. That rewarding your child ought never to be to try and be a bribe to your children. Because again, that's folding to your children and letting your children rule the house. Whereas God says, this is how it is. You will receive a reward. You will receive a punishment if you do A, B, or C. Well, notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And Paul would even make mention of this. It was read for us this morning in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is what you get. It's a blessing. Is that what it says? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for you might get a gift. That's not what he says either. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children need to understand, I'm doing this because this is the right thing to do. And if I do the right thing, God is going to see it, and not only will I reap eternal life, but he will be glorified in the process. We need to teach our children that, yes, there are rewards, but the main point of all of this is to glorify God, because this is what is good in the eyes of God. Here's our application. Obedience should be expected because it is right, not because it can be negotiated. When God says to do something, we do it because it is right to do. But because God is a loving and just God, he will reward those who do right. Now, for I guess you could say step number two, we looked at reward and do not bribe your children. Well, what about our second main thought here? Recognize and commend them. You know, a reward is not only tangible things, materialistic things. It's not money. It's not just gifts. It's not just ice cream or a trip out to anywhere your kids want to go. A reward could simply be words of affirmation. It could be that they just need to hear something from you that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Recognize and commend them. Here are a few thoughts to consider under recognize and commend them. Thought number one, recognition strengthens the heart, and God openly commends those who please him. I'm going to say that one more time. Recognition strengthens the heart of the child, and God openly commends those who please him. Encouraging words have a real power. There is a reason that there is a whole chapter in the Bible dedicated to the tongue, saying many people don't know how to use it. And most, if you're not Jesus the Christ, if you're not perfect, you'll never tame it. That's why those who are teachers will receive a stricter judgment, James chapter 3. Well, as parents, we have to control our tongue. We tell our children, you better watch what you say to me. Well, we got to watch what we say to them. We have to make sure that we say the right things. Does that mean we're going to say it right every time? No, unfortunately not. But that's where the humility comes in. If you have messed up, admit that you are wrong, because that might encourage them to admit when they're wrong at times. Encouraging words have real power. And God sometimes publicly acknowledges his faithful children. We see this in the book of Job, Job chapter 1 and verse 8. God says of Job, there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man. Can you imagine having God stand for you and say, there is nobody like him or her in the entire world, because they are upright and they are blameless and they are obedient? We need to be saying that to our children. That is, if they are obeying. We need to let them know, if you do what is right and you follow the pattern that God has set, that we as your parents are enforcing, because God's standard is the standard, you will be worthy of honor. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. here's our application. Verbal recognition strengthens a child emotionally and spiritually. Parents should recognize and affirm the good character they see developing in their children. We need to make sure that, yes, when we acknowledge the bad, we correct those things that are being said or done, but we also need to give as much attention to the things that they do that is good. Recognize these things, commend them, give them kind words and say, I'm proud of you, or biblical phrase, I am well pleased with you. I am so glad that you are my child. You are such a good, godly child. But you know what? Be honest with them. When they fall short, let them know, but do it in a way that is loving and that is constructive, not destructive. We need to make sure that we use our words as parents properly. And notice our second thought under recognize and commend. Commend your children. Commend what is honorable. Don't just commend everything. Commend what is honorable. Well, notice how God remembers the good His people do. Scripture encourages believers to acknowledge what is good, and God does not overlook faithfulness. Just like He won't overlook sin, He's not going to overlook faithfulness either. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. The Hebrew writer making known of God's nature. He says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. The Hebrew writer says, look, your work is not going to go unnoticed by God. He sees the good things that you are doing. Galatians talks about how we need to do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Why? Because God is watching. And in our actions, Matthew chapter 5 would say that our actions glorify the Father who is in heaven. How is it going to glorify God the Father? Because He sees these things, He acknowledges them, and He rewards them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, think on things that are true, honorable, and praiseworthy. Worthy of praise, Paul says. Here, as parents, is what we need to take from this thought. Parents should intentionally point out honorable conduct in our children. If we want to expect our children to grow up and, Lord willing, be Christians, put on Christ in baptism, and live godly lives, then we need to treat our children as if God has treated us. Because God expects us to be Christians, even though He does allow us to make our own decisions. But He treats us in a way to where we have no excuse and we can't push the blame onto God because God is the perfect parent. We need to recognize not just the things that need to be corrected and pull them up from their roots. We need to water and nourish that which is good and continue to grow. You know, if we're always just pulling up weeds but never planting fruit, don't be surprised when it comes time for harvest and you don't have anything to pull up. Yes, we need to pull up the weeds, but we need to be planting and sowing seed. And if we do that and have a balance, it will work because God says it works. Thought number three under this idea of recognize and commend them. Recognition motivates perseverance. Recognition motivates perseverance. God expresses delight in His children. Encouragement strengthens the desire to continue doing good, and God's approval is clearly spoken throughout Scripture. Notice Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, preacher, that's Jesus. That doesn't count. Are you sure? Even though Jesus was perfect, God made clear, the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Why is that in the Bible? Well, one is to confirm that He is the Son of God. But also, it is to show that when you follow God's law, which Jesus is doing, He is fulfilling all righteousness, and He has left us an example to follow in His footsteps, God will recognize His children and be well pleased with His children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Now, I understand this is not a parenting passage per se, but the principle still stands. As fellow human beings, even though we have children, we are still trying to get and help each other get into heaven. How can I help get my child into heaven if I'm constantly tearing them down and being destructive with my words? We need to be encouraging and building up our children. Here is what we need to be taking from this. This idea of recognition motivates perseverance. Children flourish when their progress is noticed and affirmed, and children need to hear sincere expressions of approval from their parents. You know, one thing I really like to do, I really enjoy drawing. I may not be really that good at it per se, but I do enjoy it. And I remember drawing pictures when I was very little and showing them to my mother. And she is an artist. I believe I got the desire to be an artist from my mother. And I would show her and she would just light up. She'd say, "Oh, that's beautiful. That's amazing." You couldn't tell what that picture was. It was scribbles. But you know what? It motivated me. I put everything into this picture and now I'm going to try and do better the next time. And then I show it. That's great. Keep it up. Well, guess what? I am excelling still more. I'm working it into every sermon if I can. Excel still more. We need to teach and instill into our children's minds to excel still more. Paul doesn't condemn the church at Thessalonica. He says, y'all are doing this. That's great. Keep it up. Excel still more. Encourage just as you also are doing. We need to recognize these things in our children and say, that's great. Keep it up. Well, look at our last thought under recognition. Commend faithful effort, not only success. God promises praise for faithful service. What I mean by that is this. God does not expect us to be perfect. He expects us to be faithful. Now, unfortunately, we as parents, we, including myself, I'm new at this. And in fact, I look like one of y'all's kids right now, more so than I did last week, okay? I understand that. But we as parents sometimes have a tendency to set the bar a little too high for our kids. We think, I can do that. Why can't they do that? Well, they're learning. It's a part of the growing process. As soon as Tommy was born, I wasn't expecting him to start running and say, okay, son, you're born. Start packing up your things and get to the car seat and buckle yourself in. That's impossible. That's absolutely absurd. Why do we expect our children to do things that a mature Christian, when they're not even Christians at the time, are fulfilling? We need to recognize that they're trying. Commend them for their service and say, you know what? That's great. Let's keep on. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Each one will receive his praise from God. Notice, God is not he doesn't show favoritism. In fact, if you look in the book of Genesis, there is a key theme that shows the downfall of a family: favoritism and deceit. Those are the two key themes throughout the family of Abraham all the way into Joseph: deceit and favoritism. You had people having favorite wives, and they really should just have one wife. You had parents having favorite children. You had people favoring themselves in order to keep their own neck. And then you had people deceiving left and right. Well, where do you think Isaac might have learned to give his wife up in order for him to be saved? Probably from his father. God is not going to show favoritism. He's not going to say, well, Anthony, you didn't do as good as Chris Lowry over here, so I'm going to give him more and you're just going to sit back and watch. God's not going to do that. Everybody is going to receive his own reward and her own reward. But notice Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't say, well done, perfect servant. It says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God rewards faithfulness, not perfection. And if we set the bar of being perfect, our children will never achieve it, just like you will never achieve it, as well as myself. But we can achieve faithfulness and servanthood, because that's exactly what Christ showed us to do. Pick up a towel and drop the title, he says, and be a servant, a faithful one at that. If you do that, your Father in heaven will be well pleased with you. Here's the application. Praise, diligence, honesty, and faithfulness, even when results are not perfect, but done according to what was required. Encouragement motivates children to continue doing what is right. You know, even though what they do may not be perfect, ask this question. Did they do what I said? Did they fulfill my commandment? I think I've mentioned this before. I'm not going to go into great detail because I've already mentioned it. And I like things neat and in order, kind of OCD a little bit. Okay, I get that from my father. I get the artistic bone from my mother and my OCD from my father. So I never have good paintings or drawings. Okay, it's just kind of something in my mind. You know, I can't do this. Well, you know what? Growing up, when I would fold towels and rags, I would want to make sure that I did it just right. Well, starting out, it was just, I got to do towels and rags. I'm just going to do them real quick. Well, if I did it, but I didn't do it to what my father wanted, well, son, let me show you how to do this real quick. Let me fold this up. You know what my mother would do? If you keep discouraging and undoing the towels and rags that they're doing, they're never going to do it. Why don't you just commend them for the honor and obedience, and after a while, teach them, show them how to do it. Don't discourage them. You know what? I'm noticing that I'm doing that with my son. Son, that's not how you fold a... Give me that real quick. Let me fold it. Well, Haley says, just let him do it. He's learning. We need to make sure that we teach our children faithful obedience is what is rewarded, not perfection. Because if we try to be perfect, and we are not perfect, and we tell our kids, why aren't you perfect? Well, we discourage them. Yes, we need to strive for perfection, Jesus the Christ, but we must acknowledge that God wants faithful obedience. Now for our last point. Under this idea of rewarding your children, we've looked at reward and do not bribe. We've looked at recognize and commend them. Now, reassure and comfort them. I think this is probably the best way to end how to parent like God. Because on the day of judgment, this is really how it all ends. Or really, shall I say, it's how it all begins for all of eternity. Comfort and reassure them. Here are some thoughts for you to consider under reassure and comfort your children. Thought number one. Gentle instruction nurtures security. Gentle instruction nurtures security. God comforts his people like a caring parent. Parents must guide without crushing the spirit, and God describes his comfort in deep personal terms. Notice this, Isaiah 66 and verse 13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Remember, we made mention at the very beginning of this morning's lesson talking about how the book of Isaiah, or maybe it was the middle ways of the sermon, the book of Isaiah, half of it is judgment. The other half is really talking about messianic promises and prophecies. The book of Isaiah begins, come, let us reason together. The in-between is showing this is where you went wrong. This is how you can make it right. And the very end of the book of Isaiah is, I'm here to comfort you. In fact, you see it in the transition in Isaiah chapter 40. After he gives tons of these judgment scenes to every nation, God looks to Isaiah and says, I want you to send a message to my people. I want you to comfort them with these words. Tell them I'm sending the Messiah. Tell them I'm sending a way to have a relationship with them. Even though they might have messed up, they can make it right. Well, at the very end of the book of Isaiah, God says, I'm here to comfort you. Even though you're not perfect, even though you mess up, even though you don't fulfill my commandments at times, I'm here to comfort you when you repent. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, fathers should not provoke their children to wrath, but bring them up in instruction and discipline of the Lord. this idea of do not provoke your children to wrath. It's also mentioned in the book of Colossians. It means do not cause your children to be discouraged. Do not force them to anger. Do not set standards for your children that they cannot meet and then become discouraged and angry. What you need to do is nurture them and instruct them in the wisdom of the Lord. Here's our application. Correction should be balanced with reassurance and patient teaching. Children should experience comfort and reassurance in their parents' presence. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Just this morning, you said I need to beat my kid with the rod. Now you're saying I need to put my arm around them and comfort them. Which one is it? Both. There is a time and a place to do both of them. There is a, as Solomon would say, there is a time and a season. There is a time to punish, and there is a time to reward. And we need to be balanced in both of those. Notice thought number two, comfort restores discouraged hearts. God invites his children to bring their burdens to him. Even though God will punish, he says, let me carry your burden for you. Let me help you out. Notice, encouragement is necessary when children are struggling. He offers rest and reassurance. Matthew chapter 11, excuse me, in verse 28, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that was, of course, through his son, Jesus the Christ. But Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father says, come to me. I will help you. I will shelter you. I will be your fortress. I will give you rest and peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. You know, a lot of times we're very quick to correct, and not just in the idea of parenting, but even within the brotherhood. There's two different extremes. Some people just want to stay out and say, well, I don't want to cause a disturbance. Where some, they're ready to deal with any situation to the most extreme with anything. There's this old saying, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. When your brethren start getting a little too comfortable, you need to kind of be like Shamgar and prod them with a stick. So you need to get back to work. But when you see your brethren faint-hearted and discouraged, don't start poking them and beating them with a stick. That's the wrong timing for punishment. Same thing for parenting. If you see your kid discouraged, don't take out the rod and start beating them. Put your arm around them and comfort them and say, bring your burden to me. What's wrong? We'll talk about this. We'll deal with this. Perhaps it's something that they've done. Maybe they are feeling godly sorrow. Yes, punishment needs to be issued, but have some wisdom. You know, Cain murdered his brother. God didn't immediately jump all over him. What did he do? He actually showed mercy. We need to be showing mercy and compassion to our children as well as discipline. We need to be righteous and just in our parenting. Here's the application. When children fail or feel overwhelmed, they need support rather than harshness. Parents should cultivate an atmosphere where children feel safe bringing their struggles to them. Parents need to be the very first introduction to who God is to their children. When your children see you, they need to see God. They need to see Jesus the Christ. They need to see the church. They need to see the organization of the system of faith where there is order, there is discipline, but there is love and there is mercy. There is a balance in all of it. Notice thought number three. We're almost done. Compassion reflects the heart of God. God shows tender compassion toward his children. Notice, God's compassion toward his children provides the model, the template of which we need to follow. Scripture explicitly compares God's compassion to that of a father. Look at Psalm 103, verse 13. Psalm 103 and verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You know, just in Proverbs, it talks about, and in Deuteronomy, how God is going to discipline his children. But here in Psalm, we also see another strategic approach to parenting. He says, I'm going to show compassion to my children. I am going to examine the situation, and I'm going to deal with it as it needs to be dealt with in the moment. Now, our final thought. Loving reassurance builds confidence. Loving reassurance builds confidence in our children. God strengthens and reassures His children in fear. Love casts out all fear. God repeatedly speaks words of encouragement to His children throughout all of the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you," God says through Isaiah, Isaiah 41:10. But you know, He also makes mention of it in the New Testament. 1 John 4 and verse 18, perfect love casts out all fear. It's interesting how it says perfect love casts out all fear. And who's described as love? God. God is love. In this very book, it is He's described as love. Here's our application we need to be making as parents. Children who feel secure in their parents' love develop confidence and stability. Reassuring words from parents build courage and security in their children. You know, we just got through with a series in the book of Revelation. And there is a church or two, or a congregation rather, a congregation or two in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, where they were going through some discouraging times. A lot of those congregations, the seven churches of Asia, they received some rebuke from Jesus the Christ. But there's one, I believe maybe two, where they really don't receive any rebuke at all. In fact, they receive comfort. Jesus sees what's happening to His people. God the Father sees what's happening to His children. And He knows the perfect time to initiate punishment, to initiate reward, and to give encouragement. We as parents, if we want the next generation to grow up godly, we need to be parenting godly. We need to be parenting like God. I remember when Tommy was fixing to be born, where he was just born. And I was at the bank one day. There was a member of the church that worked there at the bank and developed some friendships with some of their co-workers there. And they were asking how Tommy was doing and how Haley was doing. He's doing great. He's moving around. He's growing. He's healthy. And one lady said, "Well, you know, you just got to do your best with your kids. There's no manual, as was mentioned this morning. There is no manual on how to raise kids." And you know, I tried to say, "Well, there is one. The Bible talks about how to parent." And I got shot down hard. They said, "Well, it's got a lot of good ideas, but I tried them. It didn't really work very well." I was thinking, okay. I didn't really respond to that, but I was thinking, I wonder how many parents say, "Well, I tried the Bible and it didn't work." Did you try it the way God has told you to try it? Or are we cherry picking the Word of God, saying, "I like this and I like this and I like this about parenting. I don't want to do that. I don't want to punish my kids. That's a little too harsh, but I will reward them. I'll reward them for everything." Well, the Bible said I needed to reward my kids and it didn't work, so I'm not going to listen to the Bible. Well, we can't approach the Bible like a buffet. That's not how that works. We approach the Bible the way God says to, with diligence and hard work. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly handling, rightly interpreting the word of truth. As parents, it is our obligation and honor and responsibility and privilege to teach our children how to be good students of the Word. But before we do that, we ourselves have to be good students of the Word. Maybe you are not doing your part as a parent. Maybe you are not being a good student or even a good child of God, and yet you are expecting your children to be perfect. Maybe you are not a parent, Or maybe you are a parent, your kids are grown and they have their own kids, and your role is, maybe your role is different right now. Well, you can take this and give this wisdom to your kids who have kids, or you can learn from this so that when you do have kids, you can say, I know where to go in order to parent properly. I'm going to God. Or maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're too hard on yourself as a parent. Maybe you've set the bar too high for yourself. Whatever the case may be, I beg and plead that you come now as together we stand and as we sing.